Hello and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have a very special guest from the Isaac Walton League, Rick Serwick. He's the past president and the Expo Committee Chair, a volunteer with Isaac Walton League. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, Jesse Lowry is here with us. Jesse, why don't you get our show started today?
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Jesse Lowry, Director of Conservation and Research here at Blank Park Zoo, and excited to have Rick here to talk about some local conservation projects that we're working on with him. But I always like to set the stage by talking about the role of a modern zoo in saving animals in the wild. The mission statement of Blank Park Zoo is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, research, and recreation. Basically, what I see it is a window to the wild, a place where we want to bring in the community, invite school kids and families to get a glimpse of the beauty that nature has to offer, to look into the eyes of a snow leopard, to see the amazing agility of the otters, and then feel that sense of awe that we all feel. But how do we turn that sense of awe into a real conservation action? So when folks walk out of the zoo, they know some behavior change, some action they can take in their own life that's going to help save the environment and save wild animals. And that's really our sweet spot here at the zoo. We've got 500,000 people in our audience, and so we've got this great stage where we can help convey conservation messaging and help give people the tools that we can all take advantage of to make a difference to the wildlife that we all care about. And one of the biggest points that I always like to make is that just by supporting or just by visiting Blank Park Zoo, you're helping to save animals in the wild, and that is because a portion of all revenue made at the zoo goes to save animals. And so if you're riding the train on a Saturday, if you get married here, or if you come to one of our events, you're helping to be part of the solution. And so that's really exciting, I think. And Blank Park Zoo does conservation in many different ways. Of course, when you think about a zoo, you're thinking about tigers and lions and rhinos and giraffe. And we send about $80,000 per year to in the wild conservation projects across the globe to help take care of what we call those charismatic megafauna. Another thing that we do is we try to be as green as possible. Sustainable actions, both as a business, as Blank Park Zoo, and as staff members, and encouraging our public to do as well, has a direct impact on local wildlife. We know that because, plastic that we use sometimes can end up in our waterways and have an effect on local species like turtles. And so being green is something easy that everybody can do and something that Blank Park Zoo really focuses on as well. But I always say, if you want to get the most bang for your buck, taking care of your local environment is the way to go. And so we've started a few projects here at Blank Park Zoo to really help with local conservation. And one is our upcycle program, where we go around to local parks and remove invasive plant species, giving room for native plants to grow. And like honeysuckle and mulberry, we take those out that are overtaking the woodlands. And it just so happens they're a favorite treat item of our giraffe and rhino and some other animals here at the zoo. And so everybody wins. Another great example is plant grow fly. We encourage people to plant butterfly gardens and got over 1,000 planted over the last few years. One other program that we've started is Iowa Hunters Leading the Way. And we'll talk more about that with Rick. And that's why he's here today, is to talk about the sustainable use of natural resources and hunters as conservationists and how we can all get outside and be in Iowa's natural setting and learn how to take better care of it. And so, Rick, again, welcome to our show today. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Jesse. It's great to be here today.
Why don't we start off with talking a little bit about your role with Isaac Walton League and what is Isaac Walton League all about?
Well, my role with Isaac Walton League is I'm a past president, which I got to run the show for 3 years at the chapter house down there. I had the pleasure of that. They voted me in. But now I'm chairman of the Iowa Outdoor Expo, and I coordinate with a lot of NGOs we partner with, along with the DNR, Polk County Conservation, and the Des Moines Park and Rec. So great partners. We do a lot when we get together, and it just makes for a good partnership for everyone involved. I got involved with Isaac Walton League quite a few years back. A friend of mine, Wimpy Stemple, said I needed to join. I remembered being with the Isaac Walton League when I was younger, Did a little fishing at the pond when I was in Fort Dodge. When I moved to Des Moines as part of my job, he seeked me out. I joined, and a few years later, all of a sudden, I'm president. So now it's all about trying to get youth in the outdoors. That seems to be my focus now. I've got 4 kids, 8 grandchildren, and I want to make sure that we improve the habitat for wildlife and also for us humans for a better life in the future.
For those of us who have heard of Isaac Walton League but don't know what that is, could you tell us what exactly is the Isaac Walton League?
I certainly can. You know, it's kind of amazing. Most NGOs will come and go, and they've only been around for a few years. The Isaac Walton League's been around since 1922. I mean, we're going to be 96 years old come September. So I know that I don't look 96, but and I'm really not. I might sound like it, but it's a great experience because what happened is, back in 1922, we were just destroying our own environment. And a lot of fishermen and outdoor writers got together. 54 of them met in Chicago. And they said, this is enough. Most of them were anglers. And what really started the discussion was they were losing fish. The habitat for the fish was disappearing. A lot of what was happening, they were producing kerosene back then, and a byproduct of kerosene was gasoline. And so it was floating on top of the water, and some of the rivers were literally on fire. So can you imagine having those flying carp now run into that flames and you'd be cooking fish right in your boat? But it's really got them involved. They said, this has to stop. We're not going to have any more fish. Well, at that meeting, they decided to incorporate Isaac Walton League. And they used Isaac Walton because Isaac Walton was an angler over in Europe. And his philosophy was, there's more to fish than fishing. It takes a lot to get the fish in the river to survive. And it takes the total environment, not just the water. And so the Isaac Walton pledge is, I strive for the purity of water, the clarity of air, the wise stewardship of the land and its resources, to know the beauty and understanding of nature and the value of wildlife, woodlands, open space, to the preservation of its heritage, and to man's sharing in it. And man really has to be the leader in this for if it's all going to work.
Boy, that pledge sounds amazing and sounds like it's exactly lined up with the mission of Blank Park Zoo and the mission of all the other conservation organizations that we work with in the state. And so it's just really a delight to partner with you guys and to build those bridges between all the different kinds of conservationists that we have in Iowa and the responsible use of natural resources and anglers and hunters, I would say, are some of the most people that are really out there in the land, the most in Iowa, and they know what's going on and they can see something when it's wrong, like you did in the 1920s when the fish were becoming less prevalent. And it's just great to see that the organization has been going on for so long. It's a wonderful story.
Yeah, we can't wait to have our anniversary, which will be back in Chicago at our 100-year anniversary. So we're all geared up for that in coming years.
And you're the past president of Isaac Walton League Warren County, is that right?
Des Moines County.
Des Moines.
But I'm also a Warren County member as well.
Okay. And I've been out to the Warren County Chapter House, and that's out by Lake Aquabi. Can you talk about some of the amenities and what you guys do out at the Chapter House there in Warren County?
Oh, I sure can. At Warren County, we've been expanding at Warren County. At Warren County, we've expanded the rifle range. We're out to 150-yard rifle range. We have a pistol range as well, right alongside it. We also have it's all cemented. We have benches there. You have to bring your own bag to set it on, but bring your own targets. If you're a member, you can shoot down there 365 days a year. But we also do close the facility once in a while for special events. We have 4 trap houses. We used to have 2. And now we're in the process of building an archery range on our northeast corner. And We've started that project actually last fall, and the weather kind of got the best of us. So now as soon as it dries out in the spring, we'll be moving a little bit of dirt and getting things ready to go, which is really exciting because we've just had interest from a high school club, archery club, that really wants to get involved with archery, and they want to partner with the Warren County Ikes.
And so it sounds like a lot of what you guys are working on is connecting people with nature and connecting young people with nature, which is exactly what Blank Park Zoo does, because we want to foster those environmental ethics from a very young age and have folks grow up and become, you know, active in their community and active to save Iowa's resources. And so talk a little bit about what kind of how you do connect kids to nature, and talk a little bit more about the archery program.
Okay. The archery program that we're having at Warren County is started by four youth that just said, hey, we would like to do something that we like archery, but we don't have a place to go. So they reached out to the Warren County Ikes and said, hey, we'd like to get started. Can you help us? We're not very proficient, but we could use some help. But we know that, you know, you guys have middle school, high school trap, college trap going on at your facility. Could we do archery? So with that, we had several meetings, and now we're going to have a meeting tonight down there, so it'll be great. Might be a little snowy for shooting today, but I'm sure the kids will enjoy it. When you talk about getting youth involved with the outdoors at the Des Moines County Ikes, we also started gardening programs at the schools and showed the value of having fresh vegetables available and knowing what that fresh vegetable actually tastes like when it was ripe. Not when it was picked green and sent to the grocery store, but when it's ripe and full of nutrition. And there could be a huge difference during the time of the year. We also team up and try and get youth out fishing. We do a carp fest. That'll be June 2nd this year. It'll be at Grace Lake. What we're trying to do there is have kids go out and have some fun, and adults, because it's a family event, and come down and take some rough fish out of Grace Lake, which will help improve the ability for the game fish to spawn. So the carp aren't in there, you know, rustling up and getting all the sediment off the bottom when they're spawning. So if we can get some rough fish out of there, the game fish, like the crappies and the bass, can, you know, get more volume in the lake. It'll be a more fun place to fish for everyone. We do recycle those carp, by the way, that we catch. SOAR comes by and they pick up our carp that we catch. They take them down to their facility and they use those for feeding the raptors that they rehabilitate, whether it be an eagle, a hawk, or an owl. And they just love to have that fresh fish. So
it sounds like you have these amazing opportunities and activities to connect people with nature. These activities also have ecological benefits. You're giving fish to SOAR. And how did you get involved in this? Was there some kind of activity that you did when you were younger that really set you on the path to become a conservationist? Were you able to run outside and not come home until the streetlights came on? And talk a little bit about, was there some kind of defining moment that made you the conservationist that you are?
Well, I could say yes. There's several days when I left in the morning and got home after when I was supposed to, and I'm sure I paid the price for that. And sometimes I snuck out of my bedroom window and left earlier than I was supposed to. But I know Mom said that's okay since I did bring fish home for dinner. So, but it was really I used to at the Isaac Walton Pond in Fort Dodge. I could go there. They had a derby, kind of like what they had here in Des Moines for a little while. And you could go there and fish, and they had prizes. But it wasn't really the prizes. It was just catching the fish that I had enjoyment of. And it was a one-day event for a lot of folks. But my grandmother lived three blocks away. So when I stayed with Grandma during the summer, we would go down and fish all day long. And they just happened to have a creek down there right alongside it. And so we could catch crawdads and chase minnows, really got to see the beauty of everything that was around me. And so when I, that really got me on fishing. My dad was a hunter and a fisherman as well. So I will say I had some good guidance there. We'd go out and do bird hunting, and we used to do some pheasant hunting, duck hunting. And so I wanted to continue that for my family and make sure that it was going to be accessible for them. You could see some access was kind of going away. a lot of the areas we're losing habitat. And we all know that if you don't have the habitat for the animals, that they're not going to survive. They need to have that habitat in that area. Otherwise, they either move out or they disappear.
I love hearing the stories of your childhood, and it makes me think of hopefully what I'm setting up for my daughter right now. She's 3 and a half, and Papa got her a fishing pole, and we've got a farm pond, and every summer they go out, and they catch frogs and catch fish, and she's really excited, and they were just watching fishing shows yesterday together, and so hopefully years down the road, she'll be telling a story like you just told about how she was able to do those activities when she was growing up. Let's talk a little bit about what brought us together again, even though we did meet many years ago when I came to talk to your chapter about plant grow fly and pollinators. It's the Iowa Hunters Leading the Way campaign that we started. Blank Park Zoo received a REAP grant from the state to produce 3 identical educational displays. And when I talked in the beginning about how we want to give folks an opportunity to make a simple action, a simple behavior change in their own life that's going to help save animals and help our environment, we were looking for another issue to get involved with. And that's how we got involved with Iowa Hunters Leading the Way. And so just to kind of set up the stage a little bit, we're asking Iowa State's hunters to voluntarily switch to non-lead ammunition. Now, just to explain the issue, and please jump in here, one of the most popular hunting activities in Iowa, of course, is deer hunting.
And most definitely.
Yes. And you would say that most of the deer hunters in Iowa will be hunting deer with lead slugs.
Yeah, I would say the majority. That's correct.
And so when folks use a lead slug to hunt a deer, it fragments on impact when it hits the animal. And a lot of people don't really, aren't aware of or don't fully understand the issue around fragmentation. The projectile, the lead slug, will fragment into tiny little pieces, sometimes into almost a powder, into that fine of a piece. And while hunters do their very best to get all of the lead out of the gut pile, some may remain in the gut pile and be left in the field. And of course, when a raptor like an eagle or a red-tailed hawk or even other some mammal scavengers see that gut pile, that's going to be a valuable food resource for them. And if it contains lead, then it could poison the animals. And so that's kind of what we want to do, is just to get that scientific information out and show hunters how easy it is to switch to a non-lead ammunition.
Well, and the Isaac Walton League has always been about letting science lead the way instead of emotions. Mm-hmm. And so the science, when you can see in the X-ray that the lead fragments are there, not only in the gut pile, but possibly in some of the muscle meat, you have to think to yourself, do I really want to consume that? So by having the visual aids and educating folks that there could possibly be lead fragments in what you're processing and your family's eating, maybe you would want to make a different choice and opt out for a little different slug, maybe a copper slug, something that doesn't fragment, keeps its shape, penetrates very well through the animal, and actually by having that nice large shape, completes a very good exit wound on the animal, so you have a easier blood trail to follow, which means you have a better success rate of recovering that animal after you've shot it. That's a benefit for everyone.
So it sounds like you use copper ammunition, and it sounds like it performs very well, even a little bit better than some lead ammunition. So that is definitely one of the challenges that we've heard from hunters, is that they're not sure how it would perform in their firearm.
Well, I've fired both lead and copper out of my firearms. And as far as accuracy, they're spot on. I can't tell the difference. In fact, the copper seems to perform well even at longer ranges. And it holds its shape after it hits its target. When I was shooting the lead, it too travels well. But if I'm going to be shooting lead at a deer and I'm going to feed that to my family, I'm going to make that decision on my own that I want to use something different. When you look at physical, part of our kiosk there, it shows the X-ray in there, and it shows that fragmentation. And so you can visually see that and let science be your guide and let you make that decision.
And hunting is a very important conservation activity in Iowa and many other places where conversion of landscape and loss of habitat has taken out some of the predators. And so, of course, if we didn't have the regulated hunting of deer in Iowa, all the rest of the habitat that was left for the pollinators and the other native animals that are here would be decimated. Of course, more car accidents and things like that. So with that being said, we want to just help, back up the science and give everybody the tools that they can to make this voluntary switch to non-lead ammunition. And so we talked about one stumbling block or challenge may be folks wondering about the performance. Another one would be cost and availability. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. The cost of copper, it is, don't get me wrong, it's a couple more pennies higher, a few more dollars a box. But I only shoot at standing deer. I'm not shooting at running deer. The last 3 years, it's been one shot and good placement, and that deer has fallen. If you're taking those steps, it's really not that expensive. When you look at the boxes and the performance, it performs just as well as the lead. And when you look at the copper part of it, the shape of it, maintaining that shape all the way through there, is a benefit for everyone.
And if folks have a lot of lead ammunition that they've already purchased, it's fine to come out on the range and shoot that on the range because all of that periodically gets cleaned up. Is that right?
Yes. Actually, at ranges, it's a benefit for the range to reclaim that lead. And they can make money on it, and they can enhance the facilities. So by capturing that lead in a contained area, it's actually a benefit for that chapter or that range of collecting the lead. You can practice with it, get used to your breathing techniques and everything, but you still want to practice with copper as well. But if you do your work ahead of time with the lead, there's really not that much difference in adjusting your scope between either one.
Tell us a little bit about availability and how you found where to purchase your copper.
Well, that's the other thing. People think that it's not very accessible here in the state, but there's a lot of retailers that do sell it. You go to the Bass Pro here in town, they've got it. I know there's several places throughout Iowa as well, even in some small communities, they've got it. And it's because hunters are requesting it and they're making that decision. My goal here is to educate the hunters and give them the opportunity to really look at what they're doing. Look at what that conservation message is, because hunters and fishermen have always led the way on conservation. And this is just one small step I think we can make moving forward. I still think lead has its place in the ranges and doing a great job having competitions. But when you can improve the environment by making one small adjustment in what you're doing, I think it's well worth it.
And what we found when talking to folks is that most are just really unaware that their conservation activity and hunting and getting deer to take home to their family could actually have an unintended consequence on an animal that we all love, like the eagle. And so this has been a really amazing experience to go out and talk to hunters about this. Because like you said, they have such a long history of conservation. Can you just talk briefly about some of the conservation activities that have happened, by hunters in the past?
Well, if you look at it's a lot of what people will say, it's the people drive the sales. So if you want more of something, the demand's got to be there. So if hunters and fishermen are demanding tungsten sinkers, alternatives for fishing, then they're going to be people will be making them. If hunters are going to demanding lead alternatives to both deer hunting, similar to what we're doing in waterfowl, then that demand's going to be there. And when there's more demand, usually the price goes down because you have more competitors. So
you mentioned fishing. Let's touch on that quickly as well. So we talked about how lead can fragment and be left in a gut pile and affect scavengers. How is lead fishing tackle involved?
Well, when you look at duck hunting for migratory birds, geese hunting, we've made the switch to steel or bismuth or different something other than lead for hunting ducks and waterfowl. Well, what happens is they feed their bottom feeders. They feed off the bottom, so they're congesting those pellets and then getting lead poisoning. Well, the same could be similar in some instances for fish. If those lead sinkers are left on the bottom, they happen to get ate, that can help give them the lead poisoning as well. So you do have some fishermen that are going out actively using tungsten as a replacement of lead and having the same good experience.
Yeah, and we've had some effects on trumpeter swans with digging up some of that lead tackle too. And so just like with the increased demand for the ammunition and increased demand for the fishing tackle, the non-lead alternatives is going to help as well. Rick, we've got just a couple minutes left, and I know that we want to talk about one of my favorite activities that we partner with you on, and it's the Iowa Outdoor Expo. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Well, Jesse, thanks so much for asking about that. The Iowa Outdoor Expo, it happens the fourth weekend of September, and it coincides with National Hunting and Fishing Day. This year is our 10th anniversary. We hope to have many more. And now we're looking forward to expanding it even more. We've got kayaking, canoeing, paddleboarding, if you're game enough to stand on one. We have fishing, how to flay a fish, how to fry a fish, how to cast. We have fishing there for the kids to participate in. We have buckskinners there. They're going to have their rendezvous where they meet, and you can. They have activities for folks to stop by. You can make your own doll and take it home with you, just like you did back in the early days. Hatchet throwing contest. Then we have a conservation tent that we have programs at, and we share that conservation message. Let kids get their hands on, get to touch animals, lizards, maybe some tadpoles, but because that's how these kids are really going to get involved with what they're doing. We work with SOAR, they put on programs. We've done raptor releases there on the weekends, usually following a program there in the afternoon. Polk County's there. We have an eagle's nest that we bring. You can actually see how big they are. I mean, you can't imagine how large these are just looking at them up in the trees. But when you're actually there right in front of it, it's just awestrucking. Then you have BB guns. We have trap shooting. The only time you can shoot trap in the city limits of Des Moines is on our weekend there. Slingshots. We have archery, five different kinds, bow fishing, 3D, NAS tournament, foam archery for the young kids. If you're 2 or 92, you're going to have a great time at the Iowa Outdoor Expo.
If people want to learn more about the Isaac Walton League or the Expo, where should they go?
They should go to DesMoinesIkes.org, or they can go to www.iowadnr/expo for the expo information. And we also have Facebook. So if you like us on Facebook, just like us, and you can have little updates come your way on all the exciting things coming forward.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. If you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head over to our website at blankparkzoo.com, and we'll see you next time on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.